This is Ranger Kidwell Ross. Today I'm speaking with Kenny Page. Kenny is located in the Savannah, Georgia area, and he is someone that throughout his entire life has been involved and had a fascination with sweepers, street sweepers specifically. I'm not going to say more than that because we have the opportunity to speak with Kenny and he can tell you about it. But he is also a very accomplished model builder of street sweepers and has built a number of them. They even operate, so to speak. We'll let him talk about that as well. So welcome, Kenny. Glad you're here.
Hello. How you doing?
Oh, good. Talk to us about how you got interested in street sweepers at such an early age, and about what year was that you started being interested in sweepers and really noticing them and so forth? How did that transpire?
Wow, you're talking pretty far back. If I tell you this here, I'll be talking about my senior citizen days. I started taking an interest in street cleaners when I was like about between 3 and 4 years old. I was in the backyard in a sandbox playing with my next-door neighbor, Dennis Williams. We were making mud pies at the time. And while we're making mud pies, I'm hearing this sound, this unusual sound. And it's like about 3 or 4 blocks away, and I'm like, every time I listen to it, it's coming closer and closer. So for 1 minute, I stopped and I paused. And then Janice, she looked at me wondering what was wrong. I didn't say a word. I jumped up, ran to the front gate. I looked out there. As the noise got a lot louder, a gray and yellow old Elgin came out there, made a U-turn, and went down the opposite street of South 11th Street in Newark. And I was fascinated. I looked at it. I looked at the brushes. I looked at the way it was shaped, the color, the grills. I really took notice of this thing.
Somehow it kind of imprinted on you at that early age, huh?
Yes, very much. And I stood there watching that machine until it went out of sight. As I slowly went back, you know, you could still hear it way like 2 or 3 blocks away. And I was like, wow, what is it? I was just caught in a fantasy or something.
Do you know what model that was?
Yes, it was an Elgin Street King, about a 1958. It was gray and yellow. And,
very distinctive machine. What could you do at 3 or 4? Did you tell your parents that you were interested in that big machine that went down the street? Or how did that shake out at that point?
Well, when I first started telling them about it, they laughed. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know what I was trying to talk about or whatever it was that I was interested in. But I think when I got like about 5 or 6, I asked my mother about buying a toy street cleaner. She went out. She couldn't find none. There was none at all. None. And this is at an early age. And I was so disgusted because I fell in love with these machines. And after a while, as I'm growing up, I started following them around. I was going to school. I hated going to school because I knew that I was going to miss them on certain days, Wednesdays and Thursdays. And when I go to school, I failed in the 4th grade because my attention was looking outside. I would make excuses to go to the bathroom, I sharpen the pencil. I would walk to the window where I could hear them outside.
And you're just waiting for the sweeper to go by that you knew would be going by that day, huh?
Yeah, especially when I heard them. I've seen different types of Elgins and Waynes. The old yellow and orange Waynes, I've seen them. I like them as well, but not as much as those old gray and yellow Elgin Street King. Those are my favorites.
So what happened in terms of you ended up actually getting a sweeper? You wanted a toy sweeper and there wasn't one, but at some point you got one on your own. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. I was working in a hospital in Summit, New Jersey, and this is the kicker. I, for some reason, on my way home, this is back in the 80 and 81. I was going home. I was going down 21, and for some reason, I missed my turn. So as I'm going straight on into 109, I get off at the Kearney exit. I'm in a U-turn. When I went down the exit and I made a U-turn, I saw something I couldn't believe my eyes. It was an old yellow Elgin, the kind that I love. So I parked the car, got out, and was behind the fence. I climbed the fence just to see it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I climbed the fence.
And what age were you at this point, would you say?
I was like 22.
Okay.
But before that incident, there is one incident that I remember when I was like 13, between 12 and 13 years old, when the city of Newark had those old brooms. I would walk from my house and my parents' house on Baldwin Avenue in Newark all the way to 109, where there was a scrapyard, and all they had was some old yellow and gray, old Elgins from different townships, Nutley, Belleville, Jersey City.
So old sweepers were collected there in the boneyard?
Yes. I mean, these are old sweepers that were dated back in the 40s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. One cold day was January the 2nd, 0 degrees. I walked over there, so I had to see them. I climbed the fence. I didn't realize that there was a pond, a frozen pond below. I jumped over, broke the ice. I started to sink down into the pond. And I pulled myself off with some weeds that were there.
Wow.
Got up. My pants were frozen like a rock. I actually had to walk back home like I was Frankenstein because my pants from the ankles up were frozen.
They'd be stiff as a board, absolutely, in zero-degree weather.
And I got home, my mother asked me, what happened to you? You're all frozen up. I said, I don't want to get a beating for this, but I saw the sweepers and whatnot in the yard, and I jumped over the fence just to watch them. I didn't realize there was a frozen pond below me, and I jumped in. Oh, yeah. Feet
did frozen. You end up going back there ever?
Oh, yeah, when it was much warmer. Much warmer. So I took plenty of pictures, which I have in my archives, plenty of pictures of the old Wayne's and the Elgin's, Mobiles. In fact, I have them on the wall to this day.
And that, I'll tell you, back then, it was not taking pictures was not the simple thing it is today with a smartphone or something like that.
Oh, no. I had one of those old big, I don't know, it's like a big portable Kodak. It was an Instamatic camera. It was one of those big ones that had to wind up and then take pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a whole different process there. Let's go back to when you, at age 22, you saw this Elgin Street King that was behind a fence and for sale?
Not that I know of, but I kept looking at people. I kept looking for information to who owns it. The guy who owned it was George Cavelli, and he was the police chief of Ridgeville, New Jersey. I bought it from him. That was about $700 at the time. Mr. George Cavelli now, he used to be the captain of the Ridgeville Police.
$700 was a pretty considerable amount of money. How did you come up with $700 at age 22? Did you have that in the bank, or what did you do?
I had to work three jobs to obtain that sweeper. I worked at United Parcel Service. Then I had a part-time job at the post office. And another job, I was working with my father, but I saved that money up to buy that sweeper. Believe me, I asked a lot of people for loans to buy, but nobody wouldn't give it to me, so I did it on my own. Now, when I brought the sweeper, I had to have it towed to my father's yard. When I put it in the shop...
I bet he was thrilled.
Yeah, well, he knew that I liked street cleaners, but he didn't realize how much I liked these things. Because he used to joke about me liking these street cleaners, and he thought I was cracked in the head. That was his true expression. He was telling my mother, he said, this guy must be cracked in the head.
And then you end up with a $700 yard ornament for him.
Yeah, and here's the kicker. When I got it fixed, it cost me $5,682 to actually get the hydraulics, because the hydraulic pumps, they were all shot. It cost that much to get it going. Just a small little hydraulic pump, which I had to go to White House, Somerville, New Jersey, they had to purchase it from Chicago, Illinois. They were surprised that there was a street king out there running.
I could see that.
After they got the pump and I got a mechanic to work on it, and I did some work on it myself, I started driving that machine. Now, mind you, I bought this machine, and I didn't know how to drive it because the steering was in the rear. So I had to actually teach myself how to drive that machine. So I slowly got in the machine and started testing it in my father's yard. He had a big yard. So I was driving in the yard, and then I started driving out in the street.
So you're saying that the Street King is a rear, I didn't realize that, it's a rear steer machine?
Yes, it's a rear steer machine.
I'll be darned, like I didn't know that.
It was like driving a forklift.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to get adjusted to learning how to drive from the rear, but after a while, after a few turns and everything, I did pretty well. I taught myself how to operate it, dump it. I even made brooms for it. I did that myself.
Well, good for you.
Yeah.
How many miles did it have on it when you got it? Do you remember, or hours or anything?
About 13,900 miles.
So you drove it around. Did you actually sweep with it? What'd you do?
Here's the funny part. Because the city of Ridgefield was a small little town, so they only drove it around certain times, you know, not every day.
Right, yeah, that makes more sense. As you're driving it, you must have attracted some amount of attention from the police force and from people on the street and everybody else. What happened out of that? Do you have any funny stories about that?
Yeah, one time I was driving and I was helping the city of Newark, and my sweeper was the old base yellow, while the city of Newark were blue. So what happened was I was stopped by a cop. The cop pulled me over and asked me, "Are you with the city? Because there's a blue and yours is yellow." I said, "I'm helping them out," and you know, and they let me see your license and insurance card. And I have my license, but I left my insurance card in my other car, which was back about 4 miles away. So I had to. They pulled me back in the police car, and both the police officers they were stunned when I told them what I was doing. They both looked at each other, and one of the police officers told me to get out, go back and do what you're doing, but just be careful. And the next time when you go out, make sure you have your insurance card with me. And I was not only happy, but I was shocked.
Yeah, good for them.
I knew that I was going to either go to jail or something. But that same cop, that police officer, I am still friends with him to this day. It's been over 35 years or longer. We still communicate to this day.
That's a great story.
His name is Patrick Donnelly. That's his name, Patrick Donnelly.
So what would you do when you were driving it around? You'd sweep, find places that were dirty and sweep, or just roam around, or what would happen?
Absolutely. I'm still working these two jobs now. But I would get out there with my own sweeper and join the city of Newark and sweep the streets free in certain areas that were like hardly ever swept. I would go in that area with my machine and just sweep it up. Just, you know, I just go out there and sweep. I was enjoying myself. I was like recreating the years of the enjoyment that I had back in the 60s and early 70s.
Right, yeah, from that imprinting. I've seen it when you were young. What'd you do with the debris? Now, that must have been a problem. You'd pick stuff up, then
well,
what?
When I was sweeping with the machine with the city of Newark, I was helping them. So by me helping them, I dumped the debris, their trash, because I was actually sweeping the city of Newark. Gave me designated areas to dump my debris.
So they were probably surprised, but they went along with that and just saw it as an additional way for them to get some more sweeping done, I would guess.
Yes, they also were surprised because these same guys who I used to follow when I was little in teenage years, they were so surprised that I bought my own and then followed them around, you know, in my own machine.
I guess so.
Not only Newark, I went from Orange, the city of Orange, back in the 70s to the 80s. I was following these the Pelicans. They had Pelicans out there, the old 64, 60, 67 Pelican Elkins. And I was following them around. And one time I drove my Street King all the way to Orange, and I got behind one of the old drivers, and he couldn't believe that I had a Street King. I have a 62 Street King. And this is back in 83, 84. And the driver could not believe that machine was still running in tip-top condition.
Right, and it was a king of sweepers during its era. Let's face it was a classic.
Yes, and to this day now, I own a Street King, a 62 Street King, a 1960 White Wing, which is similar to the Street King, built in the same way, but the hydraulics are different, and a 64 Elgin Pelican.
That's quite a fleet. That's the best personal fleet I think I've ever heard of, certainly vintage.
Yeah, that's the classic old, and I love those old machines. In fact, the Elgin Company, back in 72, when I was like 13 or 14, I wrote to them. I drew the old models that I used to like, and the president of that company during that time, Jack Carson Bryson, he wrote me a letter and sent me an old Elgin toy Street King that Nylink used to make back in the early 50s.
That's great.
I have a steel model Elgin Street King. In fact, by going to these antique shows, I've gotten a couple of more Elgin Street Kings. I also have toy Waynes. I even got a wind-up Elgin sweeper that's back in the 30s or 40s. And it still works. It's mint, and it's in the box.
Oh, man. That's a great find. They didn't know what had hit them when you saw that sitting on a table at a show.
They had no idea. But I have a lot of old antique sweepers, such as the old Waynes and the Elgins, and I have a lot of some from British.
From who?
British toy manufacturers.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh.
Corgi, Tootsie, Suki Toy Company. Yeah, I have quite a few.
And they're British machines, or what kind of sweepers are there? Are they just generic type sweepers?
No, they're British. They're the identical models of the ones that the British in Britain used to use. Corgi, I've got quite a few of those.
Fascinating. How many toy sweepers do you think you've collected?
About 75 to maybe 80.
Wow, that's a lot. That's an enormous sweeper collection. That's great. Well, at some point, you decided to make your own, too. Am I right in that?
Yes, I did. I was in my late 20s, and I kept asking my mother, I always ask you to buy a toy street cleaner. And I proved to her they did have them. They were out there, but you don't see them at all. So she told me, if you want one, why don't you make your own? And I said, you're kidding, aren't you? She said, no. She said, if you want one, make your own and make it the way that you want it to be. So I took her advice. It took a while. I was building a Wayne, an old Wayne. Of course, when I started, I got frustrated several times. I threw it in the waste paper basket. Then about 2 hours later, I'll take it back out and work on it again, and I get frustrated and I just throw it away. And then after about 3 or 4 times, I got it going. And I finally got it going to the point that I put a motor in it, I put brooms on it, and it actually looked like a toy Wayne. So as I got the more toy sweepers that I was making, the better I got at it, the better I got.
I bet. So your first sweeper you built was a Wayne, and it was an operating model. Now, that's astonishing right there. And then you went on and did more, right?
Yes. I made sure that I got up. I have enough Elgin Street Kings. So I made about 5 Elgin Street Kings from the city of Newark because they had different variety of colors. Gray and yellow, all yellow, half gray, half yellow. They had quite a few. And they had wings at that time. So I made 5 different running Elgin Street Kings with a hopper opening it up. The side doors are opening up, and it had a steering wheel, and it goes on its own. Since then, I've also made Wayne. I made a remote control mobiles with the conveyor belts, rear brooms, the double gutter brooms, low dumps. So the body tilts over to dump. They're also remote control. And I've also made Timcos.
So that's a totally different thing.
I used to work for a shipping company, and all they had was Timcos and mobiles. So when I got into the Timcos, I drove with them for a good 7 years, and I drove the mobiles for a good 9 years. So I've gotten to know how to operate them and actually build them. But I believe I'm going ahead of myself and whatnot because we're still focusing on the Street King. The Street King is my baby. It really is. To this day, I'm still infatuated with the Street King. I always have and I always will be. In fact, when I was 13 years old, I was following them around. So the supervisor, Bob Bartell of the city of Newark, contacted the Star Ledger and says, "Hey, we got this kid out here. He follows us all around." So he was all around. And it was true. The Star Ledger came there, and they did a story on me. I was like 13. I was in the 8th grade. I was 13 years at the time. And then, again, I was in the Star Ledger again in 81. The first year was 71, then 81. I had my own sweeper, and they did another story on me. Then I was still operating these things. CNN got into view, and they contacted me, and they did a story on me as well. So at that time, I was driving the mobile. I've been in the news for quite a bit. I've been on CNN, the Associated Press. I've been on Channel 4 in New York. They did a 30-minute special on me. Channel 13, Bill Baker, the president of Channel 13, he did a story on me. And Channel 68 was about the city of Newark. It's a TV station in the city of Newark. They did a story on me. And also, I contacted Ranger up there in
That'd be me, all right.
Uh-huh. I did a story with...
I remember we did a story in American Sweeper.
American Sweeper, yes.
Yes, on
1999.
Uh-huh.
And I still have a complete copy of that article, the whole complete book.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. I might have some extra copies of that someplace that I could find, and I'd send them to you. If that's if I can, we'll figure out which volume and what was on the cover of that particular one, and I'll take a look. I can see where this would be, you know, standard news media would look at this and think, geez, this is something that's totally unusual. They'd want to do a feature article about it. Before I forget to ask, is your Street King still running?
Yes. I took the carburetor off, but it's still running, and so is the Pelican. The Pelican and the Street King and the White Wing, all three of them, they're all similar, gas-driven.
Uh-huh.
I like the gas. I like the gas.
Yeah, a lot easier to work on than a diesel, unless you do it all the time.
Yeah, and here's the funny part. One time I'm driving down Avon Avenue in Newark, and I was driving back to the garage. I'm at the light. The Street King, the rear engine shuts off. I'm like, oh my goodness, what do I do? What do I do? So I got out, and when I was starting it out, it wouldn't catch. So I got out. Took down one of the fins, disconnected the gas line that's going into the carburetor. I took it off, blew it through it, and some stuff was flying out, so I had trash in the carburetor.
Right.
So I always keep the quick starting fluid on me. So when I put the gas line back on, and then I sprayed a little gas in the air filter, I would climb back in the machine, turn the key, and that engine rolled right up and blew everything that was blocking gas from going into the carburetor.
Yeah.
So sometimes when you're doing that, you really got to know what you're doing.
Most of the time, because, it helps.
Yeah, because that was the third time they did that to me. The first time I was on Avon. The second time I was driving all the way through our next county, that was, and the guy I used to follow, his name was Dominic Brango. It actually was three. The main guy was Dominic Brango of the city of Orange, and then there was Woody. I don't remember his last name. There was another guy. He's retired now. In fact,
when you say you followed them, what's that mean?
Well, back in the 70s, I got a brother who is a handicap. And we used to take him to a place in Orange. It was like a school for the handicapped. So as I'm going, me and my mother are driving at a red light, I kept hearing that familiar sound. I said, there is an Elgin around here, an old yellow Elgin around here. So sure enough, about a minute later, an old Elgin Pelican popped out. It was like a 64, and Dominic Brango from the city of Orange was driving that. And I said, I've got to get to it. So I drove my, making that stop with my brother and mother, I drove them back home. This is back in 74 now. I went back up to the city of Orange, and I sat in the car just watching them go back and forth to every other street. To this day, sitting in front of me right now, I have a 1967 toy model Pelican that Brango used to drive, Dominic Brango, and I have a 64 Elgin that Woody used to drive, a 64 Pelican.
And those are models?
The models,
yes. Those are models you built?
These are models that I built from, I don't have pictures, but I built it from memory.
Wow.
Yeah, from memory. So, and when I remember taking the Elgin Pelican from the number 33 to the Orange Garage for a while, the mechanics was dumbstruck. They couldn't believe that I had made something like that.
Right.
Their own original street sweeper. They couldn't believe it. So, but at last, Dominic Brango, he's dead. He retired from the city of Orange back in 91, and I think a few years later he had passed away. But there's still Woody and there's Romano. I don't know the last names, but they're still around.
Mm-hmm.
They were really, really surprised.
You're more connected with the street department than probably some of the people that work there.
Well, we did a segment with Dominic Brango, and he couldn't believe that. He told me himself that when I used to follow him around, he used to have me ride with him in the sweeper. But when the manager came around, the supervisor, he would tell me to get out and disappear and then come back. But he said he told me that he couldn't get rid of me. I was always around.
So he wanted you to take a powder and then. Until he left,
exactly.
and then come back, and so he wouldn't have to know about it, huh?
Well, yeah, he didn't want to get himself, myself, in trouble because during that time, I guess he didn't allow nobody in the machine. But
right.
Brango knew how much I liked those things.
That's something else. Well, let's talk about I want to talk more about your model building, how many models you've actually built, and some of the different models, as well as some of the people. You've worked with.
Yeah. There was a guy that used to, when I was in high school, this guy, he used to do the county sweeping, and he had an old 67 gray Elgin. And I used to follow him around for a while. His name was Hop. And he did a bit on the CNN, and he himself did the same thing. When he's driving it, he see me in my car. I had a 69 Rambler, and I was following behind him with a tape recorder taping the sounds of the machine. And he was just dumbstruck and said, nobody ever did nothing like that.
Right.
Nobody did nothing like that. So,
what would you do with the recording?
Well, I would listen to it, and it would bring back old memories, you know, the street, you know, because it had the same motor. The same of a six-cylinder international, the same engine that the Street King had,
mm-hmm.
and I I like that kind of a sound. It's just like a guy who likes motorcycles, you know. They want to hear the motorcycle or
right, distinctive sounds. Yep.
Distinctive sound. And my father, he told me one time, he said, that machine that you're driving has a very distinct sound. There's no other machine that has a sound like that. No truck, no, has a sound like that. And
yeah.
It did. It had a unique sound. And the Waynes, they were quieter. The noise was a complete different from the old Street King, Yellow Waynes.
Mm-hmm.
Except diesel ones. Now, you have a diesel Wayne. Now, that's pretty loud. That's pretty loud. I'm older now, so I got into the film business was reading an article in the paper, and I got in the film business.
But how long ago was that?
That was back in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Read an article for auditioning for a film, for extras. Okay. So I said the last and only time I did any acting was in the fourth grade. It was about something about Thanksgiving. So from that time on, I took a chance. I said, well, I can maybe be an extra. So when I went to an audition, director, Michel Gondry, for some reason, he took an interest in me. Well, now, he wanted everybody to dance around the floor. And everybody was dancing casually. Me, I was doing the curly shuffle. You know, I was like, hey, Mo, hey, Mo, hey, Mo, hey, Mo, yeah. Knock, 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 knock. And so I was doing the curly shuffle. And all of a sudden, the director took an interest in me. And he had me pull me to the side. And he says, I want you to be in my office tomorrow. And I said, I don't know. I got to go to work tomorrow morning. I didn't take this serious, as you can tell. So the casting director brought it in and said, whatever this guy said, you do. And I said, oh, what the hell? Okay. And I still didn't take it serious. And I went the next day. Now, here I'm driving a street cleaner now. Because I just said, you know, I couldn't believe what was happening. But I went to work anyway. What the hell? Went to work, got my sweeper, and with the city of Newark at the time, and I was sweeping down Railroad Avenue. When I got a call from the office and says, Mr. Page, we're expecting you to be in office at 1 o'clock. Oh, wow, this is real. I couldn't believe it. This is real? So I was saying that to myself. So,
yeah.
So I told him, okay, I'll be there. And then it was getting like about 11:30, and I got another call. I said, Mr. Page, it's the production office. We're waiting for you to come here at 1 o'clock. I said, okay, I will be there. So I went back and I told the supervisor that I said, look, I have a very important engagement. Sorry, I just found out. So I parked the machine and left. Got home, dressed, cleaned up, and went to the audition. That was something to get into, too, because when he had the interview with me, we talked about the work that I was doing, and I told him that I have a fascination for street cleaners. And had a video of my accomplishments, and he was surprised. The original thing that he said was that I have a couple of parts for you to play in the film. You seem like interesting, and would you be interested?
I looked at him, I was like
wishy-washy. I wasn't sure, but I said, you know something? I'll take the chance. So I took the chance, and he introduced me to the crew and everything, and I didn't know that I was going to work with Jack Black. I didn't know I was going to work with Sigourney Weaver. I did not know that I was going to work with Mia Farrow and Danny Glover, and there was a few others. So I was a little nervous. Now, the first time when he told me, okay, Kitty, I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to do this. No problem. But then when I got that script that he mailed to me, FedEx, it was like a telephone book. And I had to actually read the whole thing.
Of course.
Let's see. The first time when I was...
And what was the name of the project that was for?
The movie was called Be Kind, Rewind. At first, he knew I was nervous, but he took 12 takes at one time. And he started changing and changing and changing, you know, the lines and whatnot, so I can get it right. So after a while, it was all right. And I turned out he said, I turned out real fine. And then, you know, it was a surprise to work with Jack Black. He's only funny when the cameras are on him. The cameras are not on him. He's very, very serious.
Uh-huh.
He's very, very serious, and he's not as wacky.
So how many projects have you been in? Have you been in other ones besides that one?
Yes, I've been in 8 independent films, and I had a commercial film with Be Kami Wine, and I also wrote, produced, directed my own independent film. Yes, I have.
Oh, that's great.
And I plan to do another one just as soon as I have a procedure I got to go through pretty soon. So if everything works out all right, I turn out okay, I want to do another one on my own, you know, so... Well, working at the Lehigh Valley Post Office, because I want an extra job. This is after my acting. I want to, you know, keep going.
Well, I think everybody in acting, or pretty much everybody in acting, has to have another job, too. They don't...
Yes,
doesn't pay all the bills. Well, we should talk about... I want to get back to your models and some of the people that you've worked with, so we don't run too long on this, but we want to make sure to cover those.
As for the models, which I'm still making to this day, I sent one to Temco, and I talked to Mr. Tom Rokas, and he was fascinated about my models, especially the details that I put into it.
And it was a Temco sweeper, or what kind was it?
A 600 Temco sweeper, and also a 210 Temco sweeper. I also sent the Elgin Company Elgin Pelican. But this is like the 2003, like a newer model.
Mm-hmm.
Monica Schutte of the Elgin Company, I've known her since 1972. To this day, we still talk. Now, she's about to retire, so I just made her an old 67 Elgin Pelican motorized, and it goes on its own with the moving brushes and everything.
She wow.
White Elgin 67 Pelican. And me and Monica have been friends. She's been with the Elgin Company since 1967. She's about to retire next year. So I made her a model, and she will be surprised. She can't. She said she told me she can't wait to get it.
All right. So we can say that she's going to get it because she knows that. You've introduced sweepers to someone who's blind, for example, disabled people. What's happened with that?
Okay. After a while growing up, I took a study with the blind. Oh, boy. That was something to deal with. One thing, when working with the blind, you have to have patience. Patience. You got to have a lot of patience and time. Time is the ultimate. You have to have time. By taking up a study with them, there was one particular person. She was a nice young woman, and she had 2 children. She needed help with writing, paying bills, writing checks to the bank, food shopping. So I was there. I was there for her. I took her there. I took her to a doctor's appointment, everything.
Did you talk sweepers to her? My guess is you talk sweepers to everybody, but...
I did. I talked to her about that. What I did is she didn't know what it was, but I explained it to her, and I also had one of my models, and I had her feel on the models so she'll know what it was. So she said she used to hear them, but she didn't know what they looked like or what they were worth, but she used to hear them a lot around her house. They made a lot of noise, and she was she didn't know what they were. So after she felt one of the models, then she realized what it was. Then there was another one when I used to work for Lehigh Valley. She was deaf. Her name is Sonia. And how she found out about me, she said, I look like somebody that she knew. I was surprised. She said she looked like she thought I was a truck driver. But anyway, when I gave her one of my cards, she didn't realize that I was an actor. So she said she told me and in sign language that she always wanted to become an actress, but nobody would take her seriously. You know, people would laugh at her and stuff like that because, you know, when she started moving with her hands, people avoided her because she said they don't want to catch what she's got. It's sad what she went through. It's sad. So... being that I'm in the Writers Guild, I wrote a story about her, I also took her down to see some of my big sweepers. And on top of it off, I made a toy sweeper for her. She was so surprised that she said, I want to exactly ride in one. So I brought her down to the storage place and had her in my big Elgin Pelican 64 Elgin. And I had pictures of her in there, and she wanted to operate it. So she's very, very good. Now, even the deaf, even being that you're deaf, doesn't mean that you, this may not fascinate you or something.
Yeah.
Even with disabilities.
Even though she can't hear that distinctive sound that you're talking about, she can see it. So that's...
Yeah, and then when you see the brushes move and it fascinates you, and then seeing it pick up stuff off the ground, it really fascinated her. So I made her her own toy model Elgin Pelican, and her colors are purple and white. And I made one purple and white, and she was so fascinated with it. She was pushing it along the floor, had a beacon light on top, and she was just really thrilled.
That's great.
She is a unique person, and she is deaf, and her husband's deaf. She calls me her true friend, her true friend. We're still friends today.
I know that at least in one of the articles that were done on you, where they quoted the Martin Luther King quote that we have on the front page of the World Sweeper website, you know, if it falls on your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures, sweep streets like Beethoven composed music, and so forth. And he says, you know, that's you. That's McKinley Page. That you have attained that level of excellence, have always wanted that level of excellence. And, you know, you're even cleaning the streets of Newark when nobody else would clean them, and they needed cleaned, and you bought your own sweeper to clean them. So... as far as that goes. Now, well, let's finish up by talking, and maybe we missed something. Well, I'm sure we missed many things, but let's talk about your hopes to have a sweeper project that would be, I would assume, essentially your life story of being fascinated with sweepers, and, I mean, it's certainly an entertaining story, I think, worthy of a movie all in itself. But is that what you're after? What is it you'd like to do as your, perhaps, you know, most crowning achievement in film?
Well, my... next and my last crowning achievement, hopefully, is having a film project done about my life story, and it'll be a lot more being told, such as the difficulties I've had in growing up, the difficulties in repairing that old sweeper, and losing my very first girlfriend to a sweeper. She couldn't understand.
Now, that sounds like a movie in itself, probably.
Yeah, I she couldn't understand why I was so attached to an old sweeper than Herbert. I tried to explain to her years ago, my very first girlfriend, that I have a fascination for that. But she said, why do you put more time into that than you do me? I said, well, it's something I have to get over with, and, you know, and eventually I will. If you give me time, but she didn't give me time.
Right, and I think she made the right decision, because the only way you're going to get over this fascination is to be dead. So that's been a lot of years since then, I know.
A lot of years, and so, it's just not something I can just get over with in
right.
a matter of days. No.
How, and that, if, do you mind me asking how old you are now?
I started these machines back when I was three or four years old. I am now 59.
Uh-huh.
And I'm
so for 56 years, you've been doing this.
Yeah. I'm still into these sweepers. I'm not married and I have no children, but I'm still into the sweepers. They are not my children. They're just...
your pastime. How about that?
My pastime that I will never... relinquish. I will never get over it. It's a fascination that will...
McKinley, it's the old sweepers that you really like, too. You don't really care about today's new crop of sweepers.
No.
Doesn't do anything for you. It's the vintage machines, right?
Yeah. These new design sweepers, new. There's nothing there. But it's the older models, the old mid-50s to, like, the late 60s. They're the ones that fascinate me. They're the ones that will never come back. They're the ones that the models, mostly all my models, are made up of. I do have a couple of new Elgins that I've made, 2003 Elgin Pelican, a 2001 Elgin Pelican.
Right, but still purpose-built, not on a chassis. They're replicas of the purpose-built Elgins.
Right.
Right.
The only replicas, but they do work. They have a motor and everything. They do spin.
Well, what would you like to say to wrap this up? I mean, you've had quite the interesting life, and it certainly revolved a lot around the power sweeping industry. When we got started, you said you didn't see how you could get past 30 minutes in telling the story, and we're just about coming up on the 1 hour mark. So that shows how easy it is to go. Why don't we took a couple minutes and kind of summed up things, we'd be at the hour. So how would you like to sum up your fascination and how that's affected your life?
Okay, well, when you said that, I do have followers that fascinated like I am, like Tyler Fuller. He is fascinated by street sweepers such as I am, and I'm sure there are a lot of other followers or people interested in street cleaning.
And you have a lot of followers of your feed, too, right?
Yes, I do. A lot. I think the last thing was 2,500 people that like my work, my fascination.
Well, I know that you're not much of an internet guy. You're on it some, and that's funny that you have 2,500 followers on one that you don't really even know what it is.
Yeah, the lady next door, she came to me and she looked me up, and she called me over to her computer and said, "Do you realize how many followers that you have on the Internet about these sweepers?" And she pointed out, she said, "Look." And I was surprised. I didn't realize I had so many followers on the Internet about my fascination for sweepers. There are a lot of people who like street sweepers, a lot. I recall when I was the first time I was in the book, Sweeper Magazine, back in 1999, I had people from San Diego, Hawaii, all around. They were interested in a toy or multiple toys. So I got a funny feeling that this is going to grow even larger this time. But remember this, I'm the only one that's making these things.
Well, that's true, too. And I think it'll be interesting to see, because this information will now be worldwide here as the result of the podcast you and I have done. So that, I think, is a good place to end up here, and we'll see where the next chapter takes you. I know you are battling some health issues right now, and I have every expectation that those will turn out great. I wish you the best on that, and we'll see what kind of response we get from this particular article at World Sweeper, and you never know where the people before were from different states in the Union. You might find this time that they're from different countries around the world. So I hope that's the case. We've been speaking with McKinley Kenny, is what everybody calls him, Page. And McKinley is probably the biggest street sweeper addict that I know, and I know a number of them. And some have said that I'm pretty much an addict myself. So in my case here, I think you're in good company, and no matter what anybody else might think. I really enjoyed this interview, and I'm glad we have it for history here at the World Sweeper website. Anything finally you want to say, McKinley?
Yes, there's one thing I could say. If anyone, young or old, has a dream, follow it. I don't care how stupid it may sound or seem, follow it. You never know. It can happen. If you have a dream, with the simplest, I don't care if you want to be a carpenter or a bookkeeper, don't let nobody stop you. Follow it. It's your passion. It's your dream.
There couldn't be a better place to stop. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Appreciate that.